Hey, it's Johnny Jett. Welcome back to my YouTube podcast show. Today we have James Clark, who is currently in Vietnam. He's been living there for how long have you been living there, James?
Well, I've been off and on there for about 8 years, but as you would know, I travel a lot. So when I say 8 years, I'm actually probably half of that time because I usually spend half of the time traveling. That's not happening now.
I mean, have you just been a digital nomad? I mean, do you even have a place that you live or?
I've had different eras of being a digital nomad. So I officially became a digital nomad in 2003. So I was working in Ireland at the time. I'm from Australia. And then my visa ran out in Ireland. So I just started traveling, and then I was making websites at that point, and then that became a full-time business. So then I just started traveling. I had a house in Australia I was renting, so I was spending maybe half of the year in Australia, using that as a base, then coming and going. And then I last rented a house in Australia in 2009. So since then, I've been, living overseas for that time.
Yeah, I mean, I caught up with you in Malaysia.
Yes.
New York.
New York, yes.
Maybe even Ireland.
Yeah, it seems like it's all a blur, but definitely New York and Malaysia. I was in Penang for a month based there as a digital nomad. Then I saw your tweet that you're on the way, and I was like, oh, my God, Johnny Jett's coming. So that was a great little chance meeting.
Yeah, that really was. And
for people like us, if we travel so much on a long enough timeline, we've got to run into each other somewhere in the world.
For sure. So, I mean, I've read that Vietnam has been like one of the best. I mean, they say New Zealand's the best. Australia's done a great job with COVID-19. And they say Vietnam is right up there. And is that true?
Yeah, it's true. So Vietnam's ranked second after New Zealand on that list that it sounds like that you read. And by all accounts, yeah, it's true. I was here in February, then I went to Thailand in March last year, and that's when, the world started getting really crazy.
Yeah.
And by then I felt like, all right, I better pick a place. I think we're not going to be traveling for the rest of the year if they're locking down whole cities. So I had all my stuff here. And I knew people here and I knew how to get around. I figured if we get locked down, I could at least know how to feed myself here. So I came back in March and it turned out to be a great decision because it's been one of the best places to be. We had a lockdown in April where for most of April, the shops were closed and it was just sort of, takeaway businesses were dealing with food and that. So it was, they got onto it. There was some cases that were getting out of control. So they got onto it very quickly. But, now we're in a really good position where life can get on normally here.
So have you gotten the virus?
No, I think there's only 1,000 people that have gotten it over the whole year in Vietnam. So we're in a really great position here. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, and when you consider that Vietnam borders China and that maybe there's four airports that had direct flights from Wuhan. So in January, they were like, okay, there's something bad's happening in Wuhan. They just closed down flights straight away there and then eventually just closed down international flights. The only international flights in Vietnam since March have been repatriation flights. So any commercial flights are finished. And pretty much since March, anyone that's arrived, I arrived here on the 14th of March. And then since the 17th of March, it's been a 14-day quarantine for anyone who arrives in the country, no exceptions.
And they paid for it?
That's one of the... Originally, it was government sponsored. So you could either like go to a quarantine camp, like dorm style or hotels. And now they've sort of made packages where you can stay in, like, you know, any choice of hotel, like a five-star hotel or whatever, because there are people, like, they're letting some workers in, like maybe special workers who have to continue working here for some reason, but mostly it's only people who are they're repatriating citizens, basically. So it's really, there's no tourism here yet.
Right. So, I mean, are you wearing masks everywhere? How does it work?
Yeah, so people were wearing masks pretty early on, but it's sort of like not a, I mean, it's not a cultural issue here. Like, people aren't making a big deal of it. Like, you're impeding on my freedoms by making me wear a mask. It's also because the air quality is pretty bad in the big cities of Asia. So people were wearing masks anyway just because of pollution. So people have got masks laying around everywhere. And if people are sick, people wear masks. So it wasn't a very hard thing to tell everyone wear a mask. There have been some outbreaks. Like, there was a fresh outbreak last week in Vietnam where there was 100 new cases. We went 50 days without a single reported case in the country. So pretty much straight away, the government just says, look, you got to wear masks in public again.
And what part are you in, by the way?
I'm in Ho Chi Minh City.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. So that's like the biggest city in Vietnam. And they had some cases here in March and April that were getting out of control. So that's when we had a lockdown in April.
So can you go to restaurants now and eat indoors? Or can you go to the movies?
Oh, yeah. That's since April, it's been normal. So we go to restaurants and bars, and you go to crowded streets and
full capacity.
Full capacity.
Wow.
Because I can't travel internationally, like I didn't go to Australia last year, so it was the first time in a while that I didn't go back to my homeland. So I've just been making the most of domestic travel in Vietnam. I've been visiting new places that I haven't been to before, and everywhere I fly to, it's like all the planes are full. So domestic travel is sort of like holding the fort for the airlines here, at least, because, you know, international travel is just sort of reduced to repatriation.
So you're just staying in Vietnam when you travel?
Yeah, I can't. If I leave, then I can't come back. And then I don't want to travel internationally. It's sort of, you know, international airports are a vector for, you know, carrying the disease. And I don't want to go through, like, if I had to go back to Australia, like if something happened with my family or something, it would mean a 14-day quarantine.
You can't even get into Australia right now.
It's like, it's like 20,000 Australians that want to go home, and you know, they can't get a seat. There's only a very limited amount of flights going in.
Right.
So I'm not in a hurry to go back, because, you know, I don't want to take a seat from someone who needs to go back.
Right.
But then if I was, for example, to go back to Australia, it would be a 14-day quarantine.
Right. And you got to pay for it.
Yeah, you got to pay for it. But that's how they've been. It's just sort of similar to here, where they've just sort of kept the virus under control. You might have seen the Australian Open is on in Melbourne at the moment, and you know, it was kind of instructive to watch, because a lot of the tennis players were complaining about being under lockdown. But except Serena Williams came out and said, "This is amazing. They did a lockdown, and then they get to live a normal life afterwards. Everyone in Australia is walking around going to cafes." So.
Price
to pay.
Totally. I you gotta love Serena for that. And believe me, I would love to take my family and go to Australia or Vietnam. I mean, so when you go to restaurants, do they say you have to wear a mask in a restaurant, or do they take your temperature? How does it work?
The protocol is, you know, if you're walking around, you should wear a mask, but obviously you go into a cafe or something, then you take your mask off and, you know, have your coffee or whatever. Usually in like big shopping centers or in some cafes, they'll have like a security person at the front taking everyone's temperature. And in big buildings, like, they will expect you to wear a mask. Like, if you go into a mall or something like that, the security guy will say, wear a mask. So, even when there wasn't any reported cases, people are just wearing masks anyway. So, it just sort of was. I think too, like, you know, everyone here in Vietnam realizes that, you know, the country has limited resources. So they know that, you know, if it got out of control, the hospitals would be overwhelmed. So people kind of understand that, well, we don't want it to get out of control here. So right. It's fine.
And do you guys watch news from the U.S. and are you just sitting there going like, what is going on over there and things like that? Or is not even on?
Yeah, it's sort of almost hard to believe, like, you know, we're here. Like I have to check myself because I'm on Facebook or whatever posting how I've just gone to the beach somewhere and, you know, life is good. Like it's normal. And then, you know, I'll see my friends on Facebook or in Europe or America and, you know, it's winter in the north and it's cold and you're inside and you can't go out. Or, you know, even worse, you know, someone in my extended group, someone in their family died or something. So I was like, oh yeah, that really brings home the reality that this is like the pandemic raging out of control in most of the world.
Right. So, I mean, you're a smart man for going to Vietnam. And what, I mean, for people who have never been there, and actually that's one of the few countries I have not been to in Asia.
Right.
Not these way. And I really
I look forward to you coming here. I'll show you around.
Listen, yeah. I would love it. So, I mean, first of all, I hear it's very inexpensive. Is that true?
It would be the cheapest place in Southeast Asia. It's already a cheap region. So absolutely a great value for money. And Vietnam are in this amazing time at the moment because there's like a lot of businesses are looking to move their factories out of China. So Vietnam has become one of the most popular places to set up factories because it's like, cheap labor here. So they're actually one of the few countries in 2020 that recorded positive GDP growth because there was like a lot of factories that had moved here. Like the Japanese government were actually sponsoring Japanese companies to move out of China and into like Vietnam and India.
Wow. So what's the budget for someone to, if I wanted to move there or if I wanted to move my dad there, even better.
Right.
I mean, for like a one bedroom, how much would that cost?
One bedroom, you could start comfortably at $500 a month.
Wow. A nice place.
A nice place, yeah.
Like, clean, like, safe.
Yeah, like, you know, you can go to a modern apartment and, you know, depending where you want to live, you could live on the beach which would be cheaper than living in, like...
For $500 a month for a one bedroom.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Elevator, I mean, like...
Yeah, like there's a lot... Like, if you go to, like, Da Nang or Nha Trang... which are like popular beach cities, like right. They're sitting right on the beach. Like you just walk out the door and it's like, it's not like a resort beach. It's an actual city. So, and there's like all these new apartments along the coast that are just, it just looks like Miami or the Gold Coast now. It's just, you wouldn't believe how modern these places look.
Right. And it's safe there. I've heard like people get, actually, I don't even know about Vietnam, but pickpockets and stuff like that.
Like in Saigon, there's like, you know, petty crime. You know, I think the biggest one here is like people get their phone snatched out of their hand if they're just walking down the street. But it's, you know, I've had that happen, but it's sort of mainly just common sense stuff. But for the most part,
you cut out for like, a second. Did you say that happened to you or your friends?
No, it just happened. I know a couple of people that had that happen to.
I got you.
But, you know, it's just sort of common sense stuff. But for the most part, yeah, I feel pretty safe here. You know, I don't, you know, as a foreigner, you're fine.
And how about the hospitals? Are they nice? I know Bangkok and Singapore has, you know, incredible hospitals. How about where you are? Ho Chi Minh?
They're not on the same level. Not on the same level as Bangkok or Singapore. There's a couple of international clinics here. The usual motto is if you've got like something really life-threatening, you should get airlifted. Like that's what the people tell you. But for the most part, for most ailments, you can go to an international hospital here and you're fine.
And when you say airlifted, do you mean like airlifted out of the country?
Yeah, like if you had a major surgery that you needed to get done, like just go to Singapore or Bangkok.
Okay.
But you know, for the most part, you know, if you had something, you know, like a car accident or something, you'll be fine here.
And so you say it's about $500 for like a one bedroom for a nice place. So how about for food? I mean, if you go out to dinner, or how much do you have to budget for that? I mean,
it varies. Like you can eat, you know, $1 meals, like Vietnam food. I mean, there's so much international food here now that you can go from, you can live on $1 meals to like up to like, you know, the craziest steakhouses that are charging like Western prices. And there's all these Japanese restaurants with like the fancy sushi places where you can spend your money, you know, extravagantly. So you've got like, you know, 10 years ago, there was just hardly any international food here. Like I was just talking about this last week, how, you know, 10 years ago, there were no Mexican restaurants in Saigon, for example. And now there's like a dozen of them. They're everywhere.
Wow.
You know, and there's a huge Japanese working community here. So there's like two Japan towns in Saigon, and you can find these amazing sushi restaurants. And yeah, different people coming here and moving here, and then they're setting up, you know, their food from around the world. So it's getting really good in that regard.
So when you're going out for these dollar meals, do you ever get sick?
No, I've never been sick here, which is, you know,
knock on wood.
Like I, you know, people are eating it all the time. So I think the main thing is sort of knowing where people go. So yeah.
Bottled water you're drinking?
Bottled water. I clean my teeth with the tap water. I just stopped thinking about it, but you know, everyone, you drink bottled water. So that's
fine. How about salad? Do you eat salad?
Sure. Yeah. Salad. You know, when I first traveled to Asia, I was really paranoid about salad, ice, anything like yogurt or anything like that. And now I'm totally oblivious to it. Like drink the iced water. Like in Vietnam, every time you go, well, you have Café Suda, which is like the Vietnamese iced coffee, which is a huge drink here. You've got to have the ice. And I don't even like, and you get iced tea. You get free iced tea with your drinks here. It's just, they just keep topping up your glass. And it's so civilized because it's so hot here. So, I've been drinking iced tea here since forever, and I've never been sick. So
that's good to hear. I mean, so what would you offer some advice for first-time travelers to Vietnam?
I think, like, my first time here, I spent about 2 weeks here, and I did the classic south to north, trip and just covered the highlights. So, you know, went to Mekong Delta, Saigon, and then Da Lat, Nha Trang, Hoi An. So yeah, there's a lot of highlights along the way. And then I think maybe see the highlights like Hoi An, Hai Long Bay, Hanoi, and maybe pick a couple of smaller places to get away from the main tourist crowd. We're talking once, you know, tourist crowds come back, of course. So yeah,
right.
Consider it, yeah, if that was a thing, yeah.
And are you using cash, or are you using paying just with your credit card or phone?
It's still mostly cash society here. It's like, it hasn't really, you know, like credit cards, you can get them in major, you know, cafes and stuff. But for the most part, Vietnamese dong is the denomination. When I first came here, it was still, people were still using dollars. So now that's been phased out. So it's just the local currency, but there's ATMs everywhere, so it's fine.
And you were talking about different kinds of foods. Are there Western foods, including like chains like McDonald's or Burger King or?
Well, yeah. So I think KFC was probably the first one there. KFC were just everywhere in Southeast Asia first, because I think they realized that people love fried chicken. So they were probably the first ones here. I think McDonald's was here in 2014.
Okay.
So they were pretty late to the party. And I think Starbucks, I got here in 2013. So, you know, they were pretty late coming here, sort of compared to the rest of Southeast Asia. Like they got to Thailand pretty quickly. So,
right.
But now, yeah, you're getting international chains.
And do you ever go to still, do you ever go to McDonald's or Starbucks, and are they the same price as back, you know, home?
I actually looked that up because there's two. Like you've got the Economist Big Mac Index,
right?
So I forgot what it was. I don't eat at McDonald's, but I like looking at the prices because it gives you an indication. And I forgot where Vietnam stood.
Gotcha.
Probably midway. It's not out of control here. Right. But the thing is, it's just so much this competition. Like there's all these other independent burger shops here now that like are really good, so it's sort of and the same with Starbucks. I could pop into Starbucks every now and again, but for the most part there's so many great independent cafes here. Like Vietnam is such a huge coffee culture. It's one of the biggest coffee exporters in the world, so people just love coffee. So you got a coffee shop on every corner. So you know, I'm really surprised that Starbucks have done that well. But I think, you know, too, it's sort of a local thing where it's like, hey, we want our international choices. So, you know, good on them.
Right. I got a few more questions for you before we go. I know we're going a little bit over, but so how about vaccines? Are people getting vaccinated there? Are they looking forward to it? And when do you think it's going to open back up to tourists?
Yeah, there's a plan for vaccination. I have seen in the news that they will start doing it soon, mainly like everywhere else for like, you know, the and workers and, you know, elderly and people who need it the most. I haven't really looked into it because I'm not in a category that should get it first.
And you're not even worried about it. I mean, you guys don't, I mean, life is pretty much as normal, except you have to wear a mask.
Exactly. If I knew that I had to like go overseas for some reason, then I would be reading about it and looking into it. But for now, it's sort of like, you know, the best, you know, because while great when the world's going to get vaccinated, you know, we've got to help, you know, the vaccination process by getting as few people as possible with the virus. You know, that's got to help as well. So
right,
yeah, so that at the moment, you know, I'll keep an eye on it. When it comes around my turn, I'll see.
Good. And I, you know, our internet's a little bit patchy, so how is it normally patchy like this, or is it my internet?
No, probably here. They say that the internet here gets a bit patchy coming up to the Lunar New Year, which is next week.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe it might be just mine in my room. But anyway, for the most part, it's, you know, there's internet everywhere. Like you can just walk into a little hole-in-the-wall cafe and there's free Wi-Fi, you know, everywhere you go. So it's fine.
And do you just stream Netflix or whatever you want to watch, or you have cable TV or?
Netflix. I have Netflix, and then, you know, whatever I watch on YouTube, and maybe sometimes I'll switch over to Amazon Prime if I need to watch something there. But yeah, gotcha. You get all the same things you can watch. So yeah.
It's amazing. So by the way, where can people find you?
You can go to nomadicnotes.com. Or livinginasia.co. So they're my two main sites I've been working on in the last year.
So what's livinginasia.co? It's just talking about,
it's a website about construction and transport and infrastructure in Southeast Asia. So I'm writing about, you know, new airports, new railways that are being built, and new cities, like new construction at beaches and things like that. I've been working more on that because my travel website has taken a big hit. As you would understand, in 2020, it wasn't a good year for travel publishers.
No.
So Nomadic Notes took a dive because no one's booking hotels there anymore. So, so I've been spending a lot of time working on the infrastructure side, because, you know, the governments have been, you know, continuing to spend money on infrastructure, you know, paying people to work sort of thing, and getting ready for when we can travel again. So that's sort of been my focus, because it's sort of, at least there's still people reading about that.
Yeah. Well, listen, James, I really appreciate you taking the time. enlightening us on Vietnam. I mean, I've always wanted to go, but I really want to go now. And again, it sounds like I really wish my family was there now, because we'd be living a normal life pretty much.
Yeah, it's been great. So hopefully we get to travel again, paths again soon.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, I wish you all the best, and we'll stay in touch.
Great. Thanks, Sonny.
All right. Take care. I got to figure out how to shut this.